I'm going to ask Greg to come up, and Greg is, and those with him, if there's anyone who's coming to join you this morning. I put a little request out there for some testimonies of God's faithfulness, and this is a group testimony, not just one or two individuals, but a group testimony coming to share. So thanks, Greg. You can grab Haley's mic over there. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We at Grandparents just want to greet you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Grandparents started about 5.5, almost 6 months ago now, there was just four of us, myself and Charmaine and two other folk. And we met, it was just like a prayer meeting. We would meet, we would just have a little bit of fellowship and friendship, and then we'd pray specifically for our grandchildren. But the Lord has done an amazing thing in this 5.5, nearly 6 months. From four, it's just over tripled in number. The whole grandparents thing has changed from where we're just praying for our grandchildren to a real time of ministry. Pray for one another, cry with one another, we laugh with one another, we minister to one another, and it's just become such a real time of blessing and fellowship and ministry, and the Lord's presence there, I have felt it tangibly. It's just been so overwhelming. I'm not really the crying, weeping kind, but I've had tears in my eyes many times at grandparents, and it's just wonderful to have such a supporting group of friends and brothers in Christ. It's just so overwhelming. And we just want to give the Lord all the glory and all the praise, because it's not about me. It's not about my wife Charmaine. It's not about any of us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'd like to do is just read a few of the testimonies and thanks that people have sent through on Grandparents, on our Grandparents app. I'm not going to use any names. I'm just going to read the testimonies. Okay. The first one goes like this. The group has provided an authentic and safe and loving space for me to share and pray, and above all, to thank and glorify our Lord Jesus, who is the reason for our existence. I want to give thanks to God for instituting this group and bringing us together for fellowship and for prayer, and particularly for our young people who have so many obstacles to face in growing up in this era. God is faithful, and we have seen answers to prayers in different needs. It is such a privilege to be amongst people who have a burden for families and for each other. I had a nasty fall at the rocks on Glenmore Sands about 2 months ago. I injured my back and had terrible muscular spasms and pain, and after four physio conditions, the condition still persisted. A visit to my GP revealed that my injury was muscular. He then gave me Voltaren injection and medication, and soon after the diagnosis and taking the medication, I've had wonderful relief and am well on the way to recovery. Praise the Lord for the wisdom and empathy given by the doctor. The Lord is our great physician. Thanks for all the concern and prayers offered up by our grandparents group. Being able to uplift the members of our group in prayer, being able to witness, to be a witness of the faith of our brothers and sisters, and see the positive results that our togetherness brings, it's all too rewarding. It is with much thanksgiving that I share joy and love and compassion that being part of this group affords, such a devoted group that we meet when we meet each week. Is anyone happy? Let him or her sing songs of praise. And this we do with overflowing hearts. The group represents the true meaning of sharing and caring, but for me, and not only from within our own circle, but for an awareness of the world and children in dire need. God raises up old, united people, for which I will give all the praise and honor and glory to God for our grandparents' prayer meeting. When I tell others, they say, we've never heard of such. I really look forward to my free Friday fellowship. I have never been disappointed. I go away with my cup full and overflowing. blessed and not stressed. To God be all the glory. Will you consider joining us? There's room for more. A wonderful group where we share our prayer needs for our grandchildren and children and for ourselves. A verse or a psalm is read out which leads to a lot of discussion and engagement. Wonderful insight is gained into how to encourage our grandchildren along God's path and also how to guide our children to be godly parents. Each week we celebrate how many prayers have been answered. A wonderful and caring and loving group of special people. Unfortunately, I have not been able to attend regularly due to circumstances. Your prayers for my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren have been answered over in New Zealand and Australia. Wow, I found this so comforting. Thank you all at DNCC. Thank you, grandparents. The last couple of years have been quite a tough time for us as a family. Never expecting illness and heartache to hit so hard. Together with Pastor Duncan and the prayer chain, I felt God's grace and strength. Then I got to hear about the grandparents' prayer group. How wonderful and special to know that we can sit for an hour or so with the guidance and the focus of a small devotion, and then we pray for our loved ones. We focus on our grandchildren. Fridays are the best food for my soul. My son told me to let my faith comfort me, and that's how I feel when I leave, blessed and loved. To God be the glory. And we just want to just publicly again just thank the Lord for everything that he's done. And Charmaine and I just want to say, you know, if you're free on a Friday and you want to come and join, even if you can't come every Friday, come and be a part of what God is doing and just the wonderful time of blessing and fellowship and the ministry that's taking place. Thank you. God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. You know, I've got to thank the Lord. He has been so wonderful to me. About 3 years ago, I started getting sick and I ran around from doctor to doctor to doctor. And I've seen about 4 or 5 doctors before one could confirm what was wrong with me. I had scleroderma. It's an auto disease and it is an autoimmune disease. And anyway, through 3 years, I've sometimes felt very alone in this because nobody believed me. And eventually, now the last couple of months, I've been noticing some changes again. It's going away. And I praise the Lord because it was a time when I really didn't feel I was going to make it. But the Lord has saved me. And I know he has saved me for a special reason. And I just want to tell all of you, I serve the Lord with all my heart and with everything that I have. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the group. They just took me in. And you know, now I must stop because everybody says, you talk too much. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, folks. We really appreciate this group. And I know you're looking to adopt more. And as we have a list of names. I won't make you stand too much longer. A list of names where this group prays on a Friday must be several dozen names of all of your grandchildren. But I think, if I may invite you as well, if you can't make that Friday meeting, to send the names of your grandchildren to this group, and they can add it on there and continue to pray for all of these young people. It's urgent, the time that our grandkids are living in, our kids. It's urgent, and so we really appreciate this group and are so grateful for what God is doing. Thank you, everyone. And the church, yeah, let's pray for this group as well, that God continues to use these folks. In your, I must be careful how I say this. In this season of your lives. You know, as Christians, we never retired. We never retired. We simply shift seasons and God continues to use us. So thank you, guys. We really appreciate this group. Thanks so much.
I wonder if there's anybody else who wants to share a testimony of God's faithfulness while we're at it. 20 seconds to respond. I know there's folks who are going to be sharing over the next little while, not least of whom will be David and Lauren Sneyman. So we had a little miracle baby born this week. For those in the prayer chain who are following, little Callan was born at 25 weeks. She's less than 800 grams of baby, but she is breathing on her own, and she is feeding on her own, which is pretty miraculous and pretty wonderful. And David wasn't able to. He said if he couldn't make church this morning, it's because he's gone to fetch his wife from the hospital. And so the Lord's answered prayers in that sense. But I'm sure he will have an opportunity to share his story with us in the next little while. Last chance. Going. All right, you're stuck with me now. Good. Okay, teens, you can go with Jason to teen church. We'll see you a bit later. Okay, there's a testimony on its own, by the way, folks. Our youth ministry, maybe we'll get them to share at some point as well. On the other end of the spectrum, our God's raising up these young guys and building up a very, very special group. So we'll give them a chance in the next little while as well. Okay, as you will know, if you've been trekking with us over the last little while, we've been talking about mission. We've been talking about what it means to take seriously the great commission that Jesus gives us to reach to the ends of the earth and to make disciples as we go. So both going wide with the gospel, but also reaching deep with the gospel and bringing people into a full experience of the love of Jesus Christ. And we've been also asking during this period, during this last month especially, kind of standing back and saying, Lord, what is it you want us as a church to do? And I want to share a little bit with you today where we feel God is leading us as a church and what that might look like over the next little while. Now, let me first tell you, I heard this at a conference a little while ago, but it was a guy who stood up and he shared what he believes every pastor's dream is when it comes to sharing vision with his church. And I connected immediately to what he's saying. He says, here's the dream. You kind of set aside some time to seek the Lord's face. And he says, the dream is this, that the church will say, okay, we want to send you away for a weekend or for a week of prayer, a prayer retreat, seek the Lord's face. And we're going to send you to like a golfing estate somewhere. Okay. For the week. And our hope is that you come back with just some nuggets and just some kind of direction for us as a church. And so the pastor goes off, and on the first night, he just has such incredible fellowship with God, such an amazing, powerful meeting with God that he's able to put down on paper a 3-step plan that's going to take the next 5 years. That is just so God-inspired and so awesome that try as he might, he cannot even add anything more to this. It's so moving and so clear and so absolutely perfect. And so he has nothing else to do for the next 6 days but to just invest in his golf game and plays the best golf of his life, but comes back home rested, refreshed, and stands up on Sunday morning and he says to the church, this is what the Lord has told us to do. Thus saith the Lord, A, B, and C. And the church receives this with such passion and enthusiasm that even his own children stand up in the service and rise up and call him blessed. And they come and take him from the pulpit and basically carrying on their shoulders out the door and give him another week off just to say thank you for listening to the Lord. Today is not going to be one of those services. I hate to tell you that. I wish I could come descend from the mountain like Moses and say, this is what God wants us to do. Here's the playbook. But that's not exactly how it's all working out. In fact, this might sound, what I share today probably sounds more like revision. Remember back in high school when your teacher said, okay, we're going to do some revision today, and you rolled your eyes, you're like, oh man, I know this stuff. But the point of revision is this, that it becomes so much a part of you that you're able to recite it and live it out. And I think that's probably more likely what we're going to look at today. Nothing brand new, nothing mind-bogglingly original, but where we feel the Lord has led us as a church. And part of the process of getting to some of these things today is that over the last month, we've canvassed all the life groups in the church as a starting point. And so if you're part of one of the life groups, you probably were part of a questionnaire, a survey, where your leaders took you through a couple of questions. How are you finding church life? What do you think we could tweak and change and shift? Where do you think we can be reaching out a little bit more? Where do you think we can be reaching in a little bit more? And we have 15 life groups in the church, by the way. I had to count up a few times. I'm sure, are we sure there's that many? There's 15 different life groups meeting, including the grandparents and including the youth ministry. And all of these groups just gave us a little bit of feedback, and we were able to compile that. And last week, spent the whole of Saturday as a leadership team, including a couple other ministry leaders from throughout the church. Again, we called it the Indaba, just going through this information and trying to plot out where can we get better? Where can we grow towards health? How can we move from where we are now as a church to a healthier, more effective church? And I want to read an example. There's a number of scriptures that I could have referred to this morning, but an example that's painted for us of what a healthy church, what a growing, mature church might look like. And from Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11. And he, that's Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, there's so much in there, but I think the emerging themes from that passage is this idea of maturity, growing up, both as individuals in Christ, but also as a church. And what does this look like, growing up to be mature? And so that we are able to withstand all the deceitful schemes that are thrown at us. And the word waves is used there, this idea of being tossed to and fro by the waves. And as I was just preparing this morning and praying in my office, it was beautifully quiet this morning, but sometimes when it is lovely and quiet and the wind is going in the right direction, we can hear quite clearly the ocean. It's quite an amazing thing. Like clearly, absolutely crystal clear. And I could hear it this morning and just was reminded of this constant pounding of the ocean and how it sometimes over time changes certain aspects of the beach. So pre-riots, our favorite little spot was the Umhlanga Nature Reserve. As a family, we would go there, and whenever we got a gap on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, it's been closed ever since then, but apparently it's going to be open soon. But one of the things we loved about that is you would go there, and then the very next week go exactly the same spot. And because of the currents and because of the waves and because of the weather and all kinds of different factors, it looked completely different to it the way it did a couple of days before. The sand constantly shifting and shaping and forming under the waves. But the one thing that never changed were the rocks. The rocks stand firm, no matter how much of a pounding they take. And that God is calling the church to be a rock in this age. It's no coincidence that Jesus says, on the rock I will build my church. And he's referring, obviously, back, if we know our scriptures, he's referring to what he speaks about when he says you build your life on solid foundation, not on flimsy foundation like sand. But the church needs to be unchangeable, even though the waves of culture and the waves of politics and the waves of all kinds of things are bashing against us. We stand firm. We stand firm. And so to that end, we've kind of come up with something of a mission statement. Something just reminds us of why it is that we exist and what it is we hope to achieve. And we put this together, and it's a bit wordy, and we probably need to process it a little bit further, but we believe this, that DNCC exists to glorify God by drawing all people to find wholeness in Jesus Christ through biblical teaching, authentic community, and intentional outreach empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is why God has placed this group of people in Durban North for such a time as this. I want to look at those three things we mentioned there. Biblical teaching. I hope you know that this is what we stand for. If you've been part of this church for any length of time, this is something we will not compromise on. Biblical teaching. We teach the Bible and only the Bible. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like we are wavering from that at any point ever, to speak up. I'm grateful, by the way, that there are voices that hold particularly me accountable to this. That if there's something that's said or done from the pulpit that people believe is drifting from truth or drifting from the scripture, people will come and I will get an email or a knock on my door on a Tuesday morning and I'll be held accountable for that. That's fantastic. Long may that last. If there's something that's unclear in what's been said or preached, that people will ask about it to get clarity. Hold us to this. The scripture. Everything is built on the scripture. That is our foundation. And reminder to you as well, if you're a part of this church, that it's your responsibility to read the word of God and to know the word of God for yourself. Not what some TikTok influencer says about the word of God, by the way. I'm deeply concerned for Christians who spend a lot of time on YouTube and less time in the Word. Open your Bible for yourself. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. We'll give you two just in case. But it's so important. And that is never going to shift in the ethic of this church. But a second thing is we identified both something that's already happening and we want a lot more of, and that is authentic fellowship. Authentic fellowship. We want to keep it real in this church. We really do. We get an example of authentic fellowship in Acts chapter 2, where we're told this about the brand new church. Brand new church, these brand new believers, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So again, so much we can take out of this passage. If you see the major elements, there's this commitment to fellowship. There's this generosity that starts flowing, radical generosity in the body of Christ. And then living and doing life together. That's our desire as a church. We want to come alongside one another, grow together, remembering that Christianity is a team sport. It's a team sport. Always has been, always will be. And I think three major areas where we want to encourage you to grow in depth in the life of our church is to first and foremost find a life group. Find a life group. If you're not a part of a life group, we are really going to work hard at trying to multiply and create life groups, not split life groups. We don't split. We multiply, okay? To create space for more and more people through the week to connect with other Christians. And yes, it's around Bible study again, and it's around prayer, but it's also accountability and sharing your life, as the grandparents group shared this morning. And there are many other groups, and we want to create even more. And I think the point being that as a Christian, we want to encourage you to see your commitment to church as at least a twice a week commitment, at least. I'm here on Sunday, and I have another group during the week where I belong and I connect and I grow. But let's talk also about Sunday. We believe the Sunday fellowship that happens is almost as important as the teaching and
the learning around God's word. I say almost, because we don't want that balance to flip the other way, that it's a get together and we have a little bit of a Bible study. No, no, the focus is God's word on a Sunday morning, but we want to also emphasize fellowship. And so we are going to be that church where you come in and there's a bit of a buzz and there's a noise and there's the smell of coffee and we start 5 minutes late because everybody's catching up on the week. We love that about our church. We're going to hold on to that about our church. And I want to encourage you, come 15 minutes early so you can catch up with everybody and you can get your coffee and get connected. But here's the other thing. I want to also encourage you to start looking at church on Sunday as a 2-hour commitment, not just the hour and a bit. To start kind of getting that into your mind that we sit through the formal part. I'm not saying I'm going to be preaching for an hour and a half. Don't get me wrong. That's not the point. But to say that after the service, we stick around, we hang around, we grab some chairs, we turn them around into circles, we sit outside in the beautiful courtyard or on the grass, and we catch up and we pray together and we do life with one another. Massively important. But then I think even beyond that, I think the invitation to authentic fellowship includes coffee chats and bringing braais. You know, bringing braais is a South African thing. It's also a biblical thing. That again, we need to be practicing hospitality is what the Bible says. It's a practice hospitality, opening our homes to one another, spending time together, and using that incredible gift that God has given us to break the ice, which is food. It is amazing when you start looking at some of the significant things that happened during Jesus' ministry, that it happened around a table where people were eating together. We need to be intentional about eating together and sharing our lives in that sense as well. And that's part of our strategy or our planning or our thinking around reaching deep, going deep with one another. But we also at the same time want to make sure that we're taking the gospel wide. And looking at this, again, the same verse that we looked at last week, Jesus commissioned to his disciples to take the gospel, that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they would be his witnesses. We would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it kind of works in these concentric circles that the disciples were in Jerusalem. That was their first priority ministry, to minister into Jerusalem. But then the Lord took them out into Judea and then into Samaria and then ultimately to the ends of the earth. And so we look at our Jerusalem as Durban North. If you had to put a pin in the map where Durban North community is and draw a circle with a 5-kilometer radius, that's our priority ministry. What did we find within that 5 kilometers? There's a lot. There's homes, there's schools, there's the police, there's a bunch of other opportunities that we have as a church and responsibility, more even so than opportunity, to reach out to that our Jerusalem. And we're continually looking for more ways that we can do that effectively. The Judea then is probably the greater Durban area, KZN. And we already have some guys going and working in the inner city of Durban. And I have a burden, by the way, on my heart to reach out further north. We have this interesting diaspora of Durban North community members living up north in Umhlanga and Ballito and Salt Rock. What can we do with that group of people out there? Is there opportunity for us to minister into that community as well? Going beyond just our Jerusalem, out into Judea. And then Samaria. Samaria is about crossing borders, about stepping out of one culture and into another. And we have some wonderful opportunities coming up if we can get the volunteers and the people who are passionate about this kind of thing to reach out into places like Swaziland, Lesotho, Zimbabwe perhaps, but even into Mozambique. Yeah, I put it out on a breakfast bite the other day, and the opportunity or the invitation still stands. If you've got the means, you'll probably need a 4x4 and a bit of free time and some able to fund yourself. We need to send some guys out on a recce mission into Mozambique. We've been invited to work amongst the community out there, and I'd love to send a small team. Go check it out. and see if it's fertile soil for us as a church to invest and to do something of significance out in Mozambique. And then also, we want to reach to the ends of the earth. We want to go further. It's been so cool having people like Barry Funnel here and others who are working really in the far parts of the country, up far parts of the world. And we want the Lord to keep opening our eyes to opportunities of how we as a church can have a global reach. A global reach. The Lord has also, by the way, planted, we have members and people who consider themselves part of DNCC, who are living and working in places like the UK and the United Arab Emirates and Canada and America. How can we empower them to be witnesses even in those countries, starting from here? It's an exciting opportunity that we have to do these things. Now, it seems like a massive task ahead of us, and it is. But we have a number of things in our favor, and I'll wrap up with this. A number of things going for us as a church that fill me with the confidence that we can and must and will be effective and victorious in what God's calling us to do. We have great people in this church. And if you're sitting next to one, maybe give them a punch on the shoulder, a pat on the back, one of these great people in the church. There you go. Maybe just do it anyway, even if you don't think they're great. Now they feel a bit left out. It's the truth, though. We have some wonderful people who are rich in the Lord, firm in their faith, steadfast, in a world that's shifting and changing. Gifted people. And it's been amazing to see people starting to fan into flame the gifts and experience and opportunities that they have. We have great leadership. We have a solid, solid team of leaders. And that are united as well. And we don't take that for granted. That's such a huge part of God's blessing over us at the moment. Secondly, we have great facilities. We have the most amazing campus, and we're working hard to keep it in good shape, as you'll hear just now in our members' meeting. But we have this amazing space where we can welcome people. It's a safe place to be, and I mean that even more than just practical space. We have a great place, and we have a massive responsibility to steward these resources well. We also have a great heritage as a church and a reputation as a church. A church is just coming on for 70 years. And during that time, we have had some incredible men of God leading the church. I'm pastor number 11, and I find it quite intimidating when I look at the lives of those who've come before, some wonderful, wonderful people who've led this church. We have a great heritage. But even more than all of this, we have power from on high. Told you this would be a revision. It was exactly the same conclusion as we had last week. We have power from on high as the Holy Spirit comes upon us to empower us for this task of being His witnesses, even to the very ends of the earth. May God fan this stuff into flame in our hearts. I hope some of you are excited. I see some of you, I see the guys there still wearing their armbands that I put out there the other day. And I'm praying that in the days and weeks to come, I want to hear testimonies of people you've shared the gospel with. And how God's used you. And how God's opened doors for you to be a witness. Because I believe if we're doing all these things, that what happened in that church in Acts will happen with us as well. That the Lord will add to our number those who are being saved. Saved. That we would grow as a church in depth and in width, and in health, and in maturity as we move forward together. Let's pray. And I'm going to ask you to pray, to stand as we pray. And then we'll have our interval, and I'll tell you what happens after that. Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your design, your plans, your purposes for this peculiar people that is the church. Lord, we recognize our blessedness. We recognize your faithfulness and how you've positioned us for such a time as this. We also recognize how we still need to grow up so much as a church.
And there's so much more we could say, but I pray, Lord God, that you help us to do that. That each one of us as individuals will understand more clearly the role that we have to play, so that each part, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part working properly, this body will grow so that it builds itself up in love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, I'm going to close off with a benediction. And then for those who are sticking around for the members' meeting, please, yeah, I'm sure you can grab yourself a cup of coffee. And we'll settle down in a couple of minutes' time. I'll greet those of you who have to go. If you need to go, I'll greet you at the door. But if you can stay, I really want to encourage you to do so. Let's close off with a benediction. So now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.